Well, the old saying, you can't win them all, but you don't want to lose them like they did on Saturday. It was a terrible game. The Astros got blown out, but you know what? It's great to have somebody like Justin Verlander on the hill the next day, and he pitched a heck of a game. Yes, he threw 107 pitches, and he struggled a little bit, but he still shut the Nationals out. We have a lot to talk about. Who was optioned down for the newest Astro? And we have a guest, the guy who drives the train at Minute Park, the one that makes all that noise when the Astros hit the home run. Yes, Bobby Dynamite. So we'll be talking to him on this edition of the Locked On Astros podcast.
Hello and welcome to Locked On Astros, your daily Astros podcast. Here are your hosts, Eric the Man Heisman and Brett H-Town Wheelhouse Chansey.
We are Locked On Houston Astros, and we hope that you join us for a daily Locked On Astros podcast. My name is Eric Heisman. Find me on Twitter at Eric Talk Stros. Find the show at Locked On Astros, your team every day. Brett, where can you find you at?
They can find me at H-Town Wheelhouse on Twitter and Instagram, and at Stros411 on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. Always positive, especially when the train guy is here. Always Stros.
All right, yeah, we got a special guest to join us today, Bobby Dynamite. Where can they find you when you're not asleep on the train?
Asleep on the train? Ouch.
Just kidding. Just kidding.
Man. I didn't think that I was going to get buzzed by the get the tower buzzed here that quickly.
Where can you find you on Twitter?
I'm so sorry. At Astros Train Guy, and yeah, that's really all I use is Twitter. So
okay, all right, yeah. So yeah, you've been doing this for quite a while, and you get the front row seat to all the best baseball in Houston, and so we're all very envious of what you do out there. So before we start talking about all of this, guys, thank you for making the Locked On Astros podcast your first listen every day. Whether it's on YouTube, make sure you go search the Locked On Astros podcast. Just go ahead and hit subscribe and go ahead and give us a like. And on your way to work, on your way home to work, just go ahead and listen to us on Apple, Odyssey, Spotify, wherever you listen to podcasts. And today's episode is brought to you by Bet Online. BetOnline has you covered this season with more props, odds, and lines than ever before. BetOnline, where the game starts. So in all your time driving that train, what was your most memorable experience?
I'd say probably let's go all the way back to 2001 and my first home run, which was a Daryl Ward Grand Slam on opening day. So, you know, they say you never forget your first. So I'd say that's probably, you know, the most memorable one, because I think that's kind of the moment that everything kind of became real. Like, oh my gosh, I'm really up here. This is really happening. This is cool.
So is this something that you kind of fell into? Were you literally a train conductor before this? Or like, how did you come into be the Astros train guy?
Man, just at the right place at the right time. So I was an intern with the Astros in 2000. So I've literally been at the ballpark every year or since, when was I hired? August of 2000. So I've been with the team since then. And then, so a little bit of a backstory here. The guy who drove the train the first year we were at what was then called Enron Field, a guy by the name of Michael Kenny. Now, Michael, if you're a longtime Astros fan, he was at the Astrodome. He was the guy who sat in center field and shut off the cannon every time the Astros hit a home run. He was general admission back in the day. So when we moved to the ballpark, we had the train. Michael was up in the train, and he also ran the tour department. So I was his intern. And that after that first season at the ballpark, Michael took a promotion. He's still our director of customer service. They needed somebody else to drive the train. I happen to be at the right place at the right time, and you know, here I am, 22 seasons in.
Wow.
Yeah. So yes. Literally, I'm the luckiest baseball fan ever. I mean, to get to do what I do for the team I grew up cheering for, it's still pretty awesome.
Yeah, so I'm looking at what the Astros did. When they made this trade, they're in the middle of an 11-game winning streak, and they needed some depth, especially at shortstop. We have Jeremy Pena, who was supposed to play on Sunday, but he woke up a little sore, according to Dusty Baker. So they went out and traded for Mauricio. I can't think.
Mauricio Dubon.
Dubon, yeah, I couldn't think of his name all of a sudden, but he plays shortstop and second base and center field. And this is a couple of San Francisco guys responded to my podcast that I did on Saturday and said that he is a guy with decent pop. He's not a good base runner. He plays so-so defense, but he's a guy that can help the Houston Astros. And like I kind of talked about on podcast, Nico Goodrum is a guy that struggled. He struck out a lot this year. I believe he struck out like almost half of his at-bats. But unfortunately, I mean, something I didn't think about, he did have options. And so he was able to go down AAA without having to be DFA'd. But that's a lot of money to be paying a minor league player. But so what have you seen so far, Bobby, from this team that has impressed you during this streak and I guess when they're struggling so far?
Grit, man. This is a fun team to watch. And, you know, even when things aren't really going our way, you've still got to grind against us. And that's when you've got the target on your back, the way we've had, you know, for the last several seasons. You know, you're going to get the best out of every team. And so just watching the guys, you know, just how gritty we are. And, you know, you really got to try to shove it down our throats to get a W on us. So I'd say it's definitely the grit.
So what's most exciting for you from the train? Is it seeing a great pitching matchup like Justin Verlander on the mound? Or is it watching Jeremy Pena hit his first walk-off home run as a rookie, you know? Or do all the moments mean something to you because of the position you're in?
Yeah, I'd say it's that third option for sure. Now, growing up in the Dome, always used to great pitching performances, so that's what I enjoy. I'm about to disappoint a lot of people here, but I would rather see a 1-0, you know, 2-1 type of ball game that's just an incredible pitcher's duel than, you know, the 8-6 or 8-0 blowout. Now, don't get me wrong, those are fun. The most important train ride for me isn't the home run. It's the run down the tracks whenever we win a ball game. That's the one that's the most important. So, but yeah, just each moment's its own. Trying to pick all of your favorite moments is like trying to pick all of your, your favorite kids or whatever. So,
so
not that I know, I don't have any kids that I know of, but that's what I would imagine that would be like.
Nice.
I'll let that slide. Your last few words there. But anyway, speaking of things that you have, do you have the World Series ring?
I do. I have a one World Series ring from 2017. I was very fortunate that the Crane family and the Astros included me in that success and that celebration. And let's see, I have our AL Champs ring from 2019, and just what I think 2 weeks ago I got my 2021 AL Champs ring. So yeah, wow. It's extremely, extremely humbling to, you know, I'm just an ornament on the Christmas tree, and at the end of the season, I got a ring. That's still mind boggling to me.
Yeah. In a second, Jay Roberts wants you to talk about game 5 of the 2017 World Series. We all still have like panic attacks from that game. And it was like, yeah, I really bet that we could have maybe, you can't find a better game than that one. And Brett, let's talk about Bet Online.
Yeah, our partners at Bet Online continue to be the number one source for all your betting needs and sports info. Find all the latest odds, news, and sports developments, including this year's basketball playoffs, Major League Baseball scores, fights, and even next season's NFL futures. BetOnline is your continued source for all of your sport wagering information, from live betting to playoffs, esports, and more. Head to the website today or use your mobile device to learn more about the trends and action. BetOnline, where the game starts.
All righty, guys. If y'all make the Locked On Astros podcast your first listen, why don't you go and check out the Locked On Now podcast? They do a great job taking all the nows. A now is basically Brett after the Astros win. Yay, Verlander did this. Yay, Jose Altuve hit a home run. And just talking about their favorite team. And you get to hear what's going around baseball. And it's just, they do a great job. It's the Locked On Now podcast. Go check it out. So, Bobby, let's go ahead and talk about Game 5 of the 2017 World Series. Mm-hmm. That was a game that went back and forth, and it was just one of those that it was just fun. At the same time, it was very nerve-wracking and like, what the heck is going on here? But what was your experience from the train?
Oh, man. That was definitely one of the probably the craziest game I've ever witnessed live. Again, the ups and downs, the roller coaster of emotions, going down 4-0 early to a Hall of Fame caliber guy like Clayton Kershaw against just a juggernaut of a Dodgers team. That was what was it? The comeback. So it was 4-0. Then we came back and tied it at 4, I think. And then they went up 7-4. We tied it at 7 again, I think, something like that. I mean, it was just, oh man. But yeah, again, that grit, that was, you know, on full display for the world in that game. The emotions, man, to be honest with you guys, I do my very, very best to not ever show frustration or anything up there, because it's, I'm kind of the guy, it's like, all in is all I know. So, you know, so I'm always keeping the faith, but you know, that, just that game, watching everything happen was, yeah. I'm trying to put it into words, and I really can't, but, I guess really what really made me realize that we had seen something special with that ball game. So after the ball game, I was walking out of the ballpark with, Tim Kershaw, Mark Teixeira, and the Baseball Tonight crew from ESPN. We walked out of the ballpark together, and I asked him, like, have y'all ever seen a game like that? And they're like, we don't know what just happened. They had just got finished analyzing the ball game on Baseball Tonight, and they're still just like, we don't know what happened. It was just, you know, so, you know, getting to hear that from those guys just, you know, really, really made it just seeing how, made me realize how special that game was.
No, yeah, definitely. And I know back in 2005, I know a lot of guys are mentioning this. I was actually at this game. Eric was there as well when Albert Pujols hit that home run off of Lidge. I remember distinctly hearing the ball hit the train tracks in the glass in that game. That was an eerie, it was eerily silent. It went from total pandemonium. And I don't think Minute Maid Park's been that loud since that moment. But then again, I haven't been at every Scream Fest at Minute Maid Park. But that had to have been one of those, like, wow, like, did he just do that? Because it was like the second the ball hit the bat, you knew it was gone.
Yeah. And, you know, that one is a lot of people, you know, really, really point to that home run as a dark moment in Astros history. The only bummer about it was that we didn't clinch the pennant at home.
That's right. You know? That's true.
Now, don't get me wrong. That home run and the result of that ball game had a ripple effect that really could have turned the tide of the entire world, the 2005 World Series. That meant Roy O, instead of pitching game one, he had to pitch game six. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it pushed everybody back. Who knows what that would have been like? But, you know, whatever, you know, it's, you really can't, gosh, what was that, 17 years ago? You know, yeah. I don't dwell on it anymore.
Yeah.
But yes, going from complete pandemonium to a mausoleum in in whatever time it took for that ball to get out of the ballpark was that was rough back then.
Well, I know that a lot of the Astros' recent success has been from Yuli Gurriel. He has been a player who's, since he's come up with the Astros, has been kind of a leader. This year, he has not been playing super good, but the last few weeks or so, he's been doing a lot better. He came in, he went on a road trip with a 198 batting average, a 552 OPS, and now he's coming back home on the road trip or right now he's at 248 with a 708 OPS. He's 10 for his last 21 at bats, and four of those hits have fallen for extra base hits. He's hit two home runs in this series. How good is it? I mean, I'm sure you've seen a lot of Gurriel home runs at Minute Maid Park, especially. How good is it for his bat to get going?
Oh man, that the more the merrier in our lineup. And it's, we're spoiled with our lineup. You know, there's not a lot of holes in our lineup. You know, you never know when somebody's going to go off. You know, Maldi's had a tough go at it this year, and you saw him with the multi-hit ball game today. So, I mean, you just never know who's going to have the game for you. But to have Gurriel, you know, especially hitting, let's see, what he hitting behind Alvarez right now, you know, there's a lot of insurance up and down that lineup. So yeah, getting him going is just going to make this juggernaut even better.
No, yeah, and I think one of the reasons why this team's continued to have success is because you have a pitching staff that you do. When Justin Verlander is basically throwing fastballs at 98.3 miles per hour in the first inning, and even when he struggles at the age of 39. After having Tommy John surgery, it has you thinking that, you know, Justin Verlander could very easily be in the top two or three when it comes to Cy Young voting. If not, I mean, definitely comeback player of the year for sure. And to get comeback player of the year and to also get a Cy Young. I mean, and then on top of that, you got Alvarez hitting tanks the way he is. And Alvarez clearly one of the top four or five players in Major League Baseball right now. This team is star-studded. What I love about this team is only batting 229, 25th in the league, and yet they are still outpacing currently barely the Angels, who I would say is playing their best baseball. Well, the Astros are playing about 60% of what they could really be doing. Justin Verlander is a big part of the success of this team this year.
I'm 43 years old, and I've decided I'm going to go get Tommy John surgery. And I'm thinking that I could probably get my fastball up to maybe a good 43, 45 miles an hour.
Hey, so are you saying Astros train guy is going to become Astros relief pitcher?
Well, it's going to take me a couple of years because I got to do the whole rehab too.
Yeah.
So Bobby Dynamite coming to Astros roster in 2025.
You heard it here first.
Yeah, I believe that Garrett Cole made a comment about Justin Verlander saying that it's the same old race car with different wheels or something on it. And he's just an unbelievable pitcher, what he can do after having Tommy John. So the people around the league are taking notice of what Justin Verlander is doing. And I mean, it's impressive. Yeah, even he was struggling today. He threw a season high 107 pitches. He had 17 swing and misses. His ERA on the season is 1.38, and opponents are batting 146 against him. And this was the first time, I didn't realize this, that he actually pitched on 4 days rest. And so this was a I don't know if that's why he struck. He wasn't as efficient as he's been in the past. Or maybe just the Nationals, just whatever. But he threw 30 pitches in the first inning. And Dusty Baker said, we had our horse on the mound. He wasn't really sharp early, and rarely do you see 30 pitches in the first inning. We're just hoping we didn't have to go through our whole bullpen. He did a great job and battled.
No, yeah, and you know, and that's a testament to Justin Verlander. See, here's the thing. He is in tune with his body, and I was actually listening to most of the game because I was cleaning out the garage today, so I was listening to Sparky and Ford on the radio on my SiriusXM app. And let me tell you, I love listening to Sparks like break down pitchers because he was a pitcher himself. And he said, you know, Justin Verlander is so in tune with who he is and what he does on the mound. And David Martinez of the Nationals said, you know, he throws 97, but it doesn't really look like the ball's 97. And that's a testament to what he does and how he perceives and how he works on his mechanics. And he says, I thought we were going to get him because we were getting the pitches up and, you know, in the zone. And then he comes back and throws two good changeups, a slider, a curveball, and then they were just really good pitches.
Right.
He is definitely, that is why I don't think I was as skeptical as everybody else with him coming back. And I probably was mistakenly skeptical about Noah Syndergaard because I don't know much about him really because we don't watch him as closely. But both Syndergaard and Verlander have come back and are having amazing seasons. These guys, when they know that it's almost an advantage that he's this age with Tommy John, you would think it would be the opposite.
Yeah. So we'll see how long this he can build on this success and just continue building up the pitch count like he's been doing and just march towards October. And you know what would be good in October? A Built Bar. Let's talk about Built Bar.
That's right. They have birthday cake puffs, and I've got a ton of them. Eric actually shared with me some of the box that he got. And Bobby Dynamite, let me tell you, as I tell our listeners every week, imagine this. Imagine dipping your fingers into a plastic tub full of birthday cake frosting and then opening your eyes, realizing, wait, that was only 150 calories, 16 grams of protein. This is what it's like to eat a birthday cake puff Built. That's right. It is a puff. Now, this is the first ever protein-infused marshmallow puff. Why is it great? Because it's wrapped in 100% chocolate, and it's good for you. If you haven't tried puffs, let me let you on a little secret, because these things are good for you. They're limited in calories. They only have 9 grams of sugar, and this is a limited time flavor, so go get them before they're gone. All Built Puffs are covered, again, 100% chocolate. They are made with collagen protein, which your body absorbs more efficiently and provides tons of health benefits. So go to Built.com to get birthday cake puffs now. Offer is this. Built.com. Use a promo code LOCK15 for 15% off your order. Use a promo code LOCK15 for 15% off at Built.com.
All right. I know that Martin Maldonado is not having a super great year, but he was 2-for-4 today with a home run. I know, Brett, you're like, oh, he doesn't always get a hit, but when he gets a hit, it's a home run. And
well, what did he do today? He hit a tank. And let me, Eric, did you watch the slow-mo and the replay of his swing? He can mash.
Yeah.
Maldi has sneaky power. I love when he connects. I just wish he would connect more often.
I think everybody does. I think Maldonado wishes he can connect more often. I think that's the secret to success there. Why don't you write a book about it, Brett?
Well, yeah.
I think he's never even thought about that, Brett.
Man, you know what? You know what? Okay, guys. Wait, hold on. Hold on. First time guest and my longtime co-host. Like, what the heck, man? It's, hey, guys, I'm not a Nationals fan, I promise.
Well, I hope Maldi's listening, because I bet you he never ever thought about wanting to.
You know what?
Just hit the ball.
Well, you know, and this is why people come to this podcast, because you don't get any better insight than you do here at Locked On Astros.
All right.
Check the subscription numbers. He's jumping in right now.
All righty. So Chaz McCormick, he's been swinging a little bit better bat recently. He hit a home run today, and it just seemed like the Astros were getting back to getting those clutch hits in big situations. I know Saturday was one of those off games, but I mean, those streaks are going to end every once in a while, and it's how you recover after those after the streaks end. And the Astros recovered pretty nicely with 8-0 victory. This is their 7th shutout of the season. Altuve had another first pitch home run. It wasn't a leadoff, but it was still a first pitch in the 9th inning home run. And Altuve is looking good. He's got his batting average up to 259. If he continues hitting, and Alvarez, I know he had an 0-for today, but he's got 11 home runs. And I mean, this team is starting to hit. And once this team really starts hitting, like starts listening to this guy and starts making more contact, then what's this team going to do?
You know, I'm not above now, you know, Bobby, I wouldn't be upset if you put in a good word for me as hitting coach. You can just go to Crane and say, look, here's the deal. There's this guy, H-Town Wheelhouse, and he's got some secret formula stuff, right? I mean, you know, or, you know, toss a note for me down on the field and let them know I've got their services.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Coaching staff's quaking in their boots right now.
Yeah. yes. Yeah. Don't wait on that. But anyway,
wow. What, man, the shade being thrown. I feel like I'm on a Locked On Yankees podcast.
Anyway, Eric Martinez wants to know what role Mauricio Dubon will play for this team. And I kind of addressed this on Saturday. I think he's going to play now a little bit when Jeremy Pena, we don't know what his status is. I know that he woke up this morning a little sore. Dusty Baker, as precaution, kept him out of lineup. He was supposed to play today, and we don't know how much longer he's going to be out. Now that we know that he's up, not Goodrum, those starts that Goodrum would have gotten, you'll see Dubon kind of getting some of those starts. So you may see him start at second base, shortstop. So they're probably going to have him maybe not so much Diaz at shortstop for a while if Jeremy Pena's out. Well, but
I think Dubon is okay. Diaz's worst defensive position is shortstop.
Shortstop, right.
Dubon needs to be at shortstop. Diaz, I still don't know why they would put Goodrum at second and Diaz at short when that's their opposite of their best position. Now, I will say this. Dubon comes in, and he's an excellent infielder and outfield option. So he will play in the outfield when they feel like they need him out there to give some guys a rest, and he can play infield. He's more versatile. He's a much more solid hitter. And so he's got a bat that is ready, and I think this kid will fit in fine here wherever he plays. But it's like Dusty said. Dusty addressed this, and he kind of went on the defense a little bit with Goodrum. He said, look, Goodrum was put in a bad position. He was only given 15 at-bats in spring training. He only started once every 8 games. He goes, that's very hard in the major leagues to get going. So he was already behind the 8-ball before things ever got started. So he didn't really have a chance. He said, but you know, at the end of the day, your bench has to produce, but it's hard to produce from that position. So I think there's some tempered criticism that needs to occur with Nico with his limited, I guess, access to the field, because, you know, I mean, heck, Yordan plays better when he's in the field rather than when he's DH. So there's something to be said about that. I think Dubon is just a more solid option. They were obviously looking at him in the offseason. I think they really wanted to see what they had in Paparizki, if they thought that maybe he might leapfrog Corey Lee early. And I figured they were like, no, he's not going to. So they went ahead and traded him and went ahead and got Dubon. And like you mentioned on the podcast before, they have control of him for a couple of years. So it's a very solid option.
Yeah, definitely. And you definitely want somebody who can hit, and he has power. He can play a good defense. So we'll see what role Dusty Baker has. But the Astros will be playing a different Boston team than they're used to. The Boston Red Sox in their last 10 games are 3-7. They're 13-21 on the season. This is definitely a surprise. A lot of people thought that after getting Trevor Story, they did lose some players, but they still have a pretty good team. A lot of people are surprised that they have a negative 12 run differential. Bobby, I mean, I don't know how much you've been keeping up with the rest of the American League, but what do you foresee with this Boston series?
I think we've got a great opportunity to just keep padding some wins. You know, we've already clinched a winning road trip. Let's just keep it going. I don't like to kick people when they're down, but you know, wins are another story. So we got a great opportunity this week.
Yeah, you know, You know, before today's loss to the Rangers 7-1, I believe the Red Sox had scored 40 runs over the previous three games. Now, it's the Rangers, okay? Consider the source, where they had only scored 40 runs all their games combined leading up to that point. So they've been kind of a helter-skelter, kind of a Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde type of team where, I mean, you look at their lineup, Eric, like you mentioned, they have talent. They can hit. But something I like to see are the Houston Astros playing in Fenway Park, because they've always played there. They've always done well, regular season or playoffs. It seems like they're up to it. It's like the Green Monster really gets them pumped, because you're going to see guys like Bregman and Altuve, you're going to see them take the ball over that Green Monster a couple times, I believe, these next few games in Boston.
Okay. Speaking of Green Monster, Bobby Dynamite, how many
Orbit is no monster.
I know. But how many home run balls do you get to keep that go up on train tracks?
I don't keep a single baseball. None of those baseballs belong to me. I make it a point to find out if that baseball was a milestone, even if it's the other team, and make sure that it gets to who it needs to get to. You never know when somebody promised someone they would hit a home run for them. You never know when somebody they hit a home run and it was mom's birthday or the kid's birthday or something like that. It doesn't matter what team. I definitely, you know, make an effort to track the ball down and get it to whichever clubhouse it needs to go to. If it if that ball isn't a milestone ball or a special ball or anything like that, we have an authentication team that will come up and they'll get the baseball, and then you can go pay a few $100 for it down at MLB Authentic.
Yeah, that's cool. So so talking about the train, I know some people that I've talked to that visit the stadium, they always say this: I thought the train went all the way around the stadium. Now, was there ever a plan for the train to do more than a forward and back motion? Was that ever, do you know if that was ever considered? Because I know something like that would probably be an over the top, like really expensive project, but has that ever been talked about or bantered about with the Astros?
I think that was kind of that might have been the vision when they were building the ballpark. Now, I know when they said that the train, or when we announced that there was going to be a train up there on the train tracks by the roof, I think one of the gimmicks that we had wanted to do, and I say we, this is before my time with the team, was that the train would actually look like it was pulling the roof across the ballpark.
Oh, and, okay.
And so I think that was bantered about for a few months before the ballpark opened, but shelved eventually. But no, it as far as I know, back and forth. Now, what y'all don't see from where y'all are sitting is that the train tracks are actually the entire length of the roof. So it's about 800 feet worth of track from right behind the section 105, 205, the Gallagher club, and 305, 405. And that goes all the way back to where the roof is stored.
Alrighty. Before you ask this question, yeah. Brett, and I don't kill me, Astros fans, but World Series last year, what was it like when Soler hit that home run out of the ballpark? Did it look, and I don't know how close the train was, but was that a 3D type moment where it's like coming kind of at you, or?
No, it was honestly, and it was just another, at that time, it was just another home run against us. It just happened to go out of the ballpark because the roof was closed. Guys, we're going to give up a home run in the World Series. We've done it before.
Another ballpark.
We're going to do it again.
That's right.
It was just another home run. It just happened to be in game six, in a game that we desperately needed to win, do or die, and it didn't go our way.
You know, now
here's
a couple questions. I want to ask you this question, then I want to piggyback it with something else. What kind of training were you put through to drive the train, and Have you almost been nearly hit by a home run?
Okay, so yeah, we'll start with the first one. What kind of training? So getting up there, number one, I'm definitely afraid of heights.
Okay.
Like 90 feet up in the air, and that's about 89 feet more than what I'm comfortable with. I love it. Yeah. Hey, when I fly, I'm in the captain's club for about 2 hours before I get on the plane. So yeah, heights are not my favorite thing. So okay, I'll tell y'all a story about the very first time I climbed up into the train. It was January of 2001, and so what y'all don't see is, so I get on the train from behind the train. So y'all see the train in the ballpark, and there's a ledge that I've got to jump onto, and then I've kind of got to King Kong it up into the train. So, you know, for a shorter, chubby guy like me, it's not really easy to get up there. So getting up, now coming down, you know, it's the same thing. Well, there's about a 3-foot gap between the train and the ledge that where I've got to step down to. And I was so scared. I couldn't do it. My knuckles were white. I was just like, you know, I can't come down. And Michael Kenny is up in the train, and he's like, dude, you got to make up your mind. You got to either get down or come up. I was like, I can't. I'm frozen. I am stuck. Just drive the so there's a little platform on either side of on either end of the train tracks where we can load when we have like media coming up there, things like that. But that was on the other side of the train at the other end of the tracks. Michael made it clear we weren't going to drive over there with me hanging off the side of the train. We were going to either get I was either going to get on or get off. But yeah, so it took a long time for me to get over my fear of heights. I'm still afraid of heights, by the way, just not as at that moment. The other thing that y'all guys don't get to see is when the roof is closed, I'm encased between two glass doors. So one of them is, if you're looking at the train from the ballpark, say, you know, home plate, one of those glass doors is behind the Oxy sign over there. Okay. Near El Tiempo. And the other one is behind the left field foul pole. So that is all the room I have to drive. So the hardest thing after getting over my fear of heights was learning how long it takes the train to stop and getting it to stop before I crash through either of those glass doors. Because they made awesome. It very clear to me that that's coming out of my check.
Wow. I thought it was more like automated than that. I thought it just like I didn't. Wow, man.
Yeah. So I actually drive. Yeah. I actually drive when I'm up there.
That's impressive. So have you ever been hit by a home run or had one hit near you?
Yeah, I've had a few hit the train. The last one it hit was Evan Longoria. He hit one that bounced off the coal car. Now, I was parked over by the left field foul pole when that happened, so it wasn't like, you know, a monster blast up and, you know, towards center field. But I mean, to get one up there is still a pretty good poke. I've actually been hit in the arm. So Ricky Weeks from the Milwaukee Brewers. Same thing. I was over the left field by the left field foul pole in the top of the first inning. I drive the train across the park when we take the field, and he hit one, and I'm like, oh God, that one's coming this way. So I thought I was going to be like, okay, here comes my sports center moment. You know, I'm getting ready to catch it, getting ready. And the ball just kept carrying on me. And I actually took it right off the front of my forearm there for E-train guy. So
nice. Yeah,
not only has the train been hit, I've actually been hit. I should have caught that one. That one's sticking with me to this day.
All right. To kind of wrap up, I know on game one, Monday on May 16th, it's going to be Jake Odorizzi versus Garrett Whitlock. Whitlock is 1-1 with a 2.19 ERA. Jake Odorizzi was booed off Minute Maid Park at one point this season. And now the last time he pitched there, they cheered, but he's 3-2 with a 3.38 ERA. Just to kind of close out the show, you've seen kind of the good and bad of Jake Odorizzi. I mean, I know it's from the distance, but you've also seen how the fans have kind of treated him. What does it mean with his turnaround and how the fans have kind of embraced him now?
Is it really a turnaround? I mean, this is Jake that we've seen when he was with Tampa and Minnesota. Yeah. This is the guy that, you know, we know who he is, and just seeing him get back to that, you know, I'm excited for him. I'm a Jake Odorizzi defender. I absolutely love this dude. And so, yeah, to see for us as a fan base, get to see him do what we know he's capable of and what he had done in the past, our rotation doesn't miss a beat. Again, there's no weak points, there's no hole. And so seeing Jake dominate the way he has is just so exciting right now.
No, yeah, it is. And it's great that this team is slowly becoming not just the potential of what it can be, but I think things even greater are in the future. And we hope and we know that this year you will be on the train back and forth the tracks as the bats heat up at Minute Maid Park. You are Bobby Dynamite. You're the Astros train guy, and you joined us for the first time on Locked On Astros. For myself and Eric Heisman, we thank you. From our fans, we thank you, because I know you are probably the most famous guy in the ballpark outside of Orbit and the players. You're definitely up there. And so thank you so much for sharing your time. Go Astros. Keep checking in with us every day. We got you Sunday through Thursday. We got you every day of the week. And you can find us on Apple, Google, or Spotify. Subscribe to our channel. Tell your friends about us. Let them know. Come watch the train guy at Minute Maid Park. Hey, Bobby, I'll be there Thursday. I'll wave at you. Hope you can pick me out of the crowd. Y'all have a good one.